Before we start the catch-up intro, I have this mystery meat. You can't ask what it is, but you can have some if you like. What do you reckon?
Well, we did talk about that today because they're serving dog meat and barley, and fair play to them. That's their prerogative.
Was there any meat in a chicko roll? There wasn't, was it? Was that all vegetables?
What's in a chicko roll?
Cabbage.
Oh. No meat.
I think there was one addition where there was, but not the one.
Spring roll sus too.
Oh, always.
If you can't, if they have to seal each end of it and don't want you to see what's in there.
Yeah. Fried goodness is what's in there.
Could be a dog for years.
Oh, yeah. Also, you got a bit of an education about how to improve your sex life in a minute. I gave you five tips.
Yeah, that was really helpful.
You know, go home, think about them, maybe try one or two. I'm just saying.
See what happens.
All of them.
And Robin, you caught up with our new favourite person, which is the Sam Thaiday's wife, a lovely woman. And you got some, how do I put this? She's not a blogger.
That's she's
nicest
not.
Nicest thing I can say about
She's
her.
Not. She's a mum to two small children and takes care of her husband and had the inside word of what happened when Sam Thaiday got the call to say he'd been dropped.
Oh, the PM, Rich Uncle Mel, is calling through too. Enjoy your catch up.
Marto, Ed and Robin, Brisbane's second best way to drive to work. The best way is in a new car from Old Mac Mazda, Cleveland and Springwood. Their end of financial year sale finishes June 30.
What a treat. Every time this week, joined by the most powerful man in the nation, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, live from Point Piper. Morning, Rich Uncle Mal.
Good morning to you, Ed. Hello to you, Rob and Marto.
Hello, sir.
Always a pleasure, never a chore. I'm already deep in the day. I've got off the rower. I'm a little bit sweaty. You'll have to excuse me, of course.
No, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Hey, your Donald Trump impersonation has certainly got some. It's got some traction. How are you enjoying the reaction?
I've had a great response, and I'm a terrific impersonator. I'll just do a bit of Donald for you. Yeah, it's true. I know that. Did you know that? This is not fake news. This is real news. It's good. It's great. I've got to tell you, ask anyone. I'll make Australia great again. See, I really sound like
it. Wow. No, you don't. Amazing.
I think people enjoyed me having fun, too. I'd had a couple of Chenin Blancs, and I was a bit shiny on the brow. I was relaxing into it. Then Laurie Oakes. Jabba the Hutt of the press gallery. I mean, he really does look like a beanbag, doesn't he? For a family of eight. Oh, burn, Laurie. And, I mean, he had to go and expose the whole thing.
Now, education, is Gonski Gonski or will it be Dunski?
Oh, I like what you've done there, Robin. Very interesting positing of that question. You know, I say to young people these days, you can eschew an education, just get into commercial radio. Oh, not you guys. You're sizzling all around today. Well, look, it looks like we're going to have to do a deal with the Greens, which means getting into bed with them, as it were. And that probably means crawling into a grubby futon from the 90s. Remember futons? I mean, I really don't truck with the Greens. I don't like the idea of making my own clothes or buying retro from the Salvos. No. I don't like the idea of legumes as a staple in any diet. And I just want to say to the Greens, rubbing your privates with a crystal is not personal hygiene, okay? I couldn't give two hoots about your chakras. Let's get the education policy sorted.
I love it.
Let's move on to a current affair thing. A disturbing report on Four Corners on the ABC last night about the dog meat trade in Bali by the street vendors. Now, you're a dog lover, aren't you, Mal?
Yes, of course I am, Marta. I've always been a dog lover. You know what FDR said about politics? Right. If you want a friend in this game, then get a dog. Mm. And you may or may not know that I've got a dog blog on my website.
Oh,
that's a fact. It's true. And as a proud owner of Jojo, a schnoodle, cavoodle, groodle, spoodle, poodle, poodle, oodle, doodle, I find the idea of eating dog a complete anathema to any dining experience. First and foremost, what wine would you match with dog?
Yes.
Something with a little bit of bite.
Oh, I see.
I'm enjoying myself thoroughly today. Really, Barley, lift your game. First, you've let Chappelle go, and now this. It's not good enough.
All right.
A bintang.
Rich Uncle Mal, we've got to let you go, but what song's stuck in your head at the moment?
Well, actually, yesterday in Barley, an Australian broke out of Kerabokan prison. And so I've been thinking about Akadaka's great hit, Jailbreak. All in the name of liberty. All in the name of liberty. I've got to be free. Jailbreak. Let me out of here. Jailbreak. 16 years. Jailbreak. Had more than I can take. Jailbreak. Yeah. Now, it's a terrific song, and good on you. all your Akadak fans out there, before I go, I just want to say that Triple M rocks the Maroons. Come on, Maroons.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rich Uncle Mel, the PM. We'll speak to you soon.
Bye now.
An Australian man, this is the Courier Mail today, but it was all over the news. I love this story. An Australian man with just 2 months and 15 days left to serve as among four foreign inmates who staged a daring escape from Bali's Kerobokan prison via an underground tunnel yesterday. How much do you love when you hear that, Robert?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I knew you'd love it.
The tunnel is tiny, though. It was only 50 to 75 centimetres, and
this
they had to tunnel. I'm not great in tight spaces, and that would just about do me in. Imagine if one got stuck.
Yes. Yeah, because if you see, and it's been raining torrentially over in Bali.
Yeah, it was a stormwater drain, was it?
Yes.
So they would have almost drowned getting out.
Authorities believe the men burrowed out through a water drainage tunnel about 15 metres long. So they've connected to it, Robin. So dug down, connected to it, crawled along that. Now, this is the bit that would freak me out, trying to crawl back up to get out. So does that mean that one of the escape... hatch or whatever it is, the part of the tunnel that was on the outside of the prison.
It's pretty dodgy, though.
Does that mean someone has to be on the other end?
They reckon there was.
What, pulling you out?
No, digging that bit for them. Because you can't dig up as you go.
Because as you know, you've been to Bali, there's no grates on the side of roads. It just drops into holes everywhere.
Mm.
As do your motor scooter at times. Just you're riding along and you just fall into a hole.
So where would he be now? Like, the deal was that he only had 2 months left on his sentence, but he was wanted back in Perth. So, of course, he would have been deported as soon as his sentence was over. He may have then had to face jail here.
He was wanted back in Australia if he ever made it here. Because I went, hold on, you think about Kerobokan prison. You can get a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever you want, and you can get drugs.
Mm.
That's been well documented.
But he didn't want to come back here.
That's right.
And
that's
why
he wanted out.
So what would you do? If you were on the run, you'd come out, you'd be very muddy. You're with a Bulgarian, an Indian, and a Malaysian.
Yep.
It sounds like a bad joke.
You would have been covered in mud.
You're covered in mud.
You would have gone straight to Kuta and fitted in with all the other Australian tourists and pretended you were drunk.
That's what you
would have done. Just go, I'm out of it. Oh, you're an Aussie cummy.
You'd be able to, but because Bali, you know, is an island, you would have to be, I don't know how much planning's gone into getting off Bali. And then if you're getting off Bali, where are you headed to? Because he's got his papers have all been seized.
Yeah, he's got nothing. You'd need money.
Well, not much. I mean, you could
Don't you reckon? Well, then what would you do? Go live on a beach somewhere.
Can you live in hiding on Bali is my question.
I don't know if you can now. You used to be able to, but even Ubud and places like that that were the kind of lesser known are fully touristy now. And as soon as they see an Australian, they're like, you know, come in.
I wonder if he had some friends still there, though, depending on how long he was there.
I don't know.
Because you think all those places at Bali all got big, high fences, you know, what goes on behind them? You could hide. You could just stay in there. Well, Chappelle did for ages. Remember, she just did not come out of that joint for ages, and just you can hide in Bali behind those things. But where are his mates? From India and Malaysia.
And Malaysia
one
and
One of
Bulgaria.
Them might have had some hooter, some money. So he's dug, he's helped them dig. He said, if you can, you know, can you sort me out? And then he's gotten on a boat and gets to another island.
Maybe
if you get
right.
to one of the
Maybe
islands off Bali.
Yeah. Could have had a master plan sort of deal.
Didn't look like he had the bloke. He wasn't the sort to have a master plan, though, was he?
You know Bali pretty well, Cavalli. What would you do?
Oh, what would I do?
Yeah.
I'd just go straight to the nearest buffet, just try and blend in.
Couldn't you? Torrential rain.
covered in dirt. Handcuffs on.
No one would notice.
No one's going to come near me at the prawns. That's like, just give that bloke a wide berth. Stinks.
Between the Sheets with Robin Bailey.
Okay, these ones are clean.
Robin.
And just because now that I've joined Triple M, I feel like it's a conversation starter that we can have that you possibly couldn't have had without me here. So I'm going to take the lead and you guys may learn something. I'm going to give you the top five ways to make it even better in the bedroom in less than a minute. These are helpful hints. And I learned a couple of things in this process. Number five, do it outside the bedroom, but with special mention to the armrest of a couch. Apparently the requirement to balance and concentrate adds an extra dimension that is arousing.
Should the kids be in bed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, then they shouldn't be there watching The Simpsons.
Shush, Mum. Shush, Dad.
Okay.
Number four.
So the armrest, that's really good.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, some couches Timbo have smaller armrests than others, but I would pick your armrest.
Do you take the stubbies off there first?
Yes. Yes, you do. Number four, add a pillow. Now, the idea is the idea is it just gives you a different, like, level.
Something to bite.
But they're just saying that normal positions and stuff are heightened by using the softness and the height.
Oh, I know a guy. I know a guy who once bought a special pillow off the internet for just that purpose.
No, he didn't.
But he didn't have a partner, did he?
Yeah, he did.
That was the partner, no?
Because he had this weird sort of contraption that just looked like a block in his room. And I said, "What's that?" And he goes, "Look at this." And it sort of unzipped into this ungodly shape. And he said, "Yeah, no, we love it. We love it." Does the cover come off? Can you wash it?
Oh, I hope so.
See, if they can make a multi-pillow, so when you buy the pregnancy pillow, you could, you know, it can becomes then it becomes adaptable.
Oh, no,
anyway.
That's good. I'm liking
it. Number three, kiss. Go for a kiss in the actual moment. Like right in that moment, and I'm not going to explain it anymore. Work with me here, boys.
Okay.
Kiss your partner. Apparently, that's a whole new world.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a romantic one. There you go. I like that one. That's romantic.
Okay, number two. Mardo's gone into some sort of deep contemplation. No, number two, wear your socks.
What?
Research shows that keeping your socks on during the act can help regulate your body temperature.
On every English show I've seen, like Frank Spencer, when he tried to do the rompy pop, he'd have his socks on.
I remember I was friend with a guy who was involved in Neighbours way back in the day, and there was a big dispute between the couples whether they should have their socks on and off. Madge and what was his name?
On TV, Bishop? Love scenes.
Anyway, there was a love scene where they, after they had got married, whether they should keep their socks on or not, because the English would appreciate that they had their socks on.
That's interesting.
That's bizarre.
All right, to keep your feet so you keep your part, you don't cool.
No, and because and that actually keeps your body temperature up, and that means that you can continue in a state of arousal for longer.
That's great. Keep
number
your
socks one
on.
Tip. This is really good.
Viagra.
I really like this one because I hadn't thought about it. Use a tie. Like a necktie. No, wait. Skin work with me here.
Shades.
I'm not talking.
Okay.
No, it's not. I'm not talking tie your partner up. It's blindfold them and then just do what you normally do. Because the act of doing it blindfolded.
Think about somebody else.
Is. Oh. Oh, my God.
What about turning the light off?
No. You need the sensory deprivation. You need to have that so that you can't. So that, and then you just do what you normally. You don't even have to try hard.
Wow.
It just everything's a surprise, and you don't know what's going to happen next. And that, I think that's genius.
Your kids wear ties to go to school.
Yes, they do. Oh.
Do you ask them, hey, Lewin, could I borrow your tie?
No, I don't. Okay. No. Oh my God, no.
Mum, I can't find any of my ties. Oh, I got them.
Hey, here we go again. Ed Cavalli out scooping the news outlets as usual around Origin time.
Doing what I can. We know that the Origin is on. We know that it's big. We know that the build-up, any little bit of information you can get from the enemy's camp is worthwhile, Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And the big news was that the New South Wales Blues, Laurie Daly and the whole team, were staying at the Star Casino, which seemed like a strange choice given the many misdemeanours in and around that place that various New South Wales footballers have been a part of, allegedly. And so what I did was I knew they were having one of their last team meetings at the Star before they moved into their final training camp. And I snuck in there with my microphone and got there just as Laurie Daly was starting to address the players.
Yes, okay, boys. Gather around. Laurie Daly, your coach here. Well, it's our last day at our camp at the Star City Casino, which was an odd choice, but never mind. And perfectly, I think it went pretty well. Guys, everyone seems fine. Josh Dugan, why are you in the nude?
Yeah, well, I lost me clothes playing 21. I just couldn't work out how the game worked.
Well, you meant to get to 21. Never mind.
What?
Never mind, Josh. I'll send you a fact sheet. Mitchell Pierce, why are you in the nude?
I was having a spa with a friend of mine. He was also a tick bar.
Andrew Fafina here. Sorry I'm late.
Unacceptable, Andrew. Why are you late?
I was having one of my neck tats removed. I think it makes me look more intelligent.
It's going to take a lot more than that, I can tell you.
Andrew Fafita hates you, Laurie, with your bad hair.
I did not tie my hair. Now listen, you lot. We need a game plan. Obviously, Queensland's welcoming back Billy Slater.
Andrew Fafita hates him too.
Oh, no, not him.
He's a mongrel.
Yeah, he's a dog.
Oh, Mitchell Pearce likes the sound of him. Yes, we'll just have to, we'll just have to bottle him up. Guys, please, we need a game plan.
Oh, hello. It's, Josh Morris here. Mate, you could pass the ball to me.
Ow. David Clemmer here. Sorry, but I had to slap him. Ow. Sorry, I had to slap him again. I don't like his flat forehead.
David, stop slapping people.
Oh, sorry, Laurie. Once I get started, I can't stop. Ow. What I did was, once I went to a farm and this horse was looking at me funny, so I give him one. Then McIvy Diva came up, gave her a backhander. Then this other bloke comes up, Sub-Zero. He was a grey horse. Put the boot into him. It was hilarious. Got kicked out of the Melbourne Cup after that.
This is fine, David. No more of those stories, please.
Josh Dugan here. I'd like to give Morris a couple of slaps if I could too, please.
Listen, we'll all get time to slap Josh Morris. But not right now, thank you.
It's Jared Hayne. I've returned from the Pokey Lounge to save Origin.
Oh, Jesus. My flapping hand's getting very warm here.
Give him one, David.
Boys, I have a plan. You give them all to me, then you get the f*** out of my way. Sorry, Jesus, but I had to use naughty words to get through to these thick morons.
Fantastic! Finally, someone making some sense. Thank you, Jared. That was beautiful. Okay, before we go, boys, I want to finish this last team meeting before the game with the sacred New South Wales Blues Oath. I've printed them out here on these wooden tablets, so after me, please, repeat the oath.
Oh, I am a New South Wales State of Origin player. I represent New South Wales from Tweed Heads all the way to the urinals of Northeast in Cronulla.
I promise to represent New South Wales as well as my defence lawyers defend me against the charges I face.
Whether it be getting caught using PEDs, or whenever I've defrauded or my family's defrauded Centrelink,
or whenever I've grabbed someone in a nightclub, or got caught drink driving, or abused some people at a junior football game, or simulated some hot, hot sex with a hot, hot dog, I'll do it for the people of New South Wales.
Oh, Jesus. That was so beautiful, boys. I'm sweating and I'm crying. This black streaks in my face is not my hair dye because I do not dye my hair. Oh, I don't think I'll ever recover. Go Blues.
Okay, I want to ask you guys a question. We are curtling towards school holidays. A lot of the private schools are already off. The public schools finish on Friday. And I find with the June school holidays, parents don't particularly want to take this one because it's winter and it's cold and you can't go up to the beach. And, you know, if you've only got an allocated 4 weeks, you want to use them at a time where
weeks a year do kids get? Is it 12?
Oh, something ridiculous.
Around 12. And or if you go to a private school, weeks.
Pay more, go less.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so here's my question, and I guess it's relevant to all parents listening, but I wanted your opinion first. At what age can you leave kids like to their own devices to do their own things?
For how long?
A day, during the day, let's start with. And then the second question would be overnight.
During the day, 12, 13.
You reckon?
Overnight, 6.
Okay, come on. 16. Girls and boys too, because I think you could leave girls earlier than you can boys. There's a gross generalisation, but just working on the premise that...
Oh.
Like
if you're coming home that night, I reckon 13's okay.
Okay, I went to work this morning, right, and my kids had some mates over and they were all having a great time. The last thing, I lined them up, right, 12, 15 and 17. I lined them up in front of me and I said, read my lips, I'm talking to you. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, turn all the lights off, shut and lock the doors, put the dogs in the laundry.
When you go to bed last night.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I woke up this morning, the front door was open, the dogs were on my youngest son's bed, and every single light in the house was on.
No dead possums or cane toads.
No, thank God. But not surprising that they could have because every door was ajar. So here's my thing. No, they don't. And what do you keep saying to me? Boys are stupid. Anyway, I'm just curious going into school holidays and parents who are faced with this every time there's a holiday. Well, Ed, you were a product of a single mum. How old were you when you were left?
Oh, no, young, because mum worked. So I would year four, I'd wander home from St. Finbar's and put a telly on and just sort of think about life for a while.
Where was the key? Under the mat?
No, I took it to work. I took it to school.
You took it to work.
Did you really?
Didn't you lose it?
No. I had to get in.
Yeah, no, that's a reality.
That's a reality.
What about for you guys?
What?
With what left? 14, 15, 16. Hilly's really good, though. Your eldest daughter is so responsible.
Oh, no. Well, that's on the surface. Hey, but going away, we were always a bit nervous because in the old days, if you didn't tell them you were going and just nipped out and then you ring them like at 8 o'clock, oh, we're not coming home tonight, that they wouldn't be able to organise a party. But now, with everything, they can organise a party. And I've seen it happen with other friends. Our kids have been pretty good. if there's ever a little do or a gather, we've known about it, but I've seen other people's kids. We went over one night, at 80 were at their house, and they were at a friend's birthday, 50th up the coast, while their kids were having 80. They had 80 people at their house. Can you
like
imagine
to know,
the destruction?
It would be good to know what's happened when you've left kids at home to their own devices.
What have they got into trouble?
Yep. How old were they? What kind of trouble did they get themselves into? Maybe it was you.
You've got to trust them until they stuff it up.
Yeah, but they could stuff it up pretty majorly, as I'm sure we'll hear next. Yeah.
Jody from Sandgate. Now, what's your experience with leaving kids at home?
I reckon about 12 to 13, and then when about 16 to 17 overnight.
Have you done this?
I have with my daughter, like during the day, yes, when I've gone to work.
Anything gone wrong?
No, nothing's gone wrong.
Okay, touch wood.
See, you got to...
touch wood, nothing's gone wrong yet.
No, nothing's gone wrong.
It's the night time when they start inviting mates over who don't give a stuff about your house. That's what I find. And your kids might have respect for your house, but no one else seems to.
Interesting. There you go. So daytime, 13, 16, overnight.
That sounds about right.
Okay, all right. Okay, Samantha from Warner. Boys and girls, different ages for each. Samantha?
Okay, so for boys, it's a bit hard, but I would honestly say 15, 16, just because their mentality is a little bit different to a female.
Have you done it yet? Have you had to go up the coast for a party or something like that and you were away for the first time and left them at home yet?
I had to actually leave my little sister at the age of 12. She was in my care. I had to leave her with one of her friends, and that was the biggest mistake of my life.
Why, what happened?
I came home to a party consisting of at least about 100 kids.
Jesus.
Yeah. My house was trashed from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And my sister was blind, rotten, drunk, and, excuse my language, stoned off her face.
Oh, what the, how old? Lord. How old, Samantha?
13.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, that's awful.
But it's not, that wasn't her. That wasn't the normal her, was it? It's when you get influenced by your friends.
Yep. See, that was it. Obviously, the friend she was hanging around with went, let's go have a party.
Yep. That's what happens.
Yeah,
she said, I've got a place. Come over to my sister's place.
Great. At 13. Yeah. Thanks,
and that's the
Sam.
Thing with social media these days. How would you know who your kids are friends with? Like, how would you even know? Like, don't they all just rock over to the house and you know them by name, Robin? They'd have online friends you'd never heard of in your life.
Exactly right.
That is so true, Ed. There's all these people turn up and you go, oh, I haven't met you. In the old days, you used to be able to meet people.
Yeah, not anymore.
Now, Mick from Brackenridge, you believe you're coming in with a remedy. What is it, Mick?
This is Gerhard, I believe.
Oh, sorry, Gerhard.
Good morning, guys. good morning. Yeah, my company markets a little product called the Safety Cam, which you leave anywhere at home. You can check from your mobile device anywhere in the world as to what's going on at home.
Oh,
it alerts you if there's movement. It's daytime, nighttime. So, yeah, and you can always check in. I'm not saying spy on your kids, but you could.
Oh, no, I'm up for spying. I'm all good.
Hey, how much? Can I ask how much to put this stuff in? Might as well be bland about it. Be, you know, straight up front.
Is it, the cost of it?
Yeah, is it like it? Is it $2,000 or what does it cost?
Oh no, no, we're talking under $1,000. Yeah, we're talking $700. Yeah.
Okay.
But it is obviously it keeps a lot of things safe, not just your kids.
No, and keep an eye on your dog or whatever. Yeah,
not a bad idea. Give it a plug, Gerhard. What's it called?
That as well. It's called the Safety Cam.
The Safety Cam.
Oh, how'd you get that name?
Thanks, Gerhard. What do you reckon, Robin? Would you do that?
Would you do that? Absolutely. If I could get on my smartphone and, hi, here you are.
But it needs a voice thing. So it needs so that you've got a button that you can push that goes, put that down.
Oh, this is Big Brother.
Get out of the fridge.
Yeah, this is Big Brother. Get Mike Goldman. He can do it live. That's great.
He's not doing anything. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
The reports coming out of Bali, an ABC investigation of dog meat being served to tourists. Now, the first thing to say, it's not illegal to eat dog meat in Bali. They're saying there's a lot of issues with the way that the dogs are caught and harvested. Robin Bailey, I can see by your face you don't want any more details, and that's fine.
I really
fine.
Don't.
You don't see a lot of dogs wandering the streets over there, do you?
Yeah, you do.
They're
I
nervous,
know, what
the ones
you
that
do.
Are. Yeah. Very nervous.
Well, you never look at them and think, delicious. No. So when you, let's have some of the audio that came out in the ABC last night.
History bag. What is?
It's never good when you hear.
It's been hard to hear. But he says...
It's a tourist, three tourists sitting around a table, and a bloke rocks up with satay, and he says, "What's that, mystery bag?" And then the guy goes, shakes his head, and then the bloke says, "Is that dog?" And he shakes his head again, despite the fact that on the seller's motorcycle,
yeah,
he's got a box that says satay, and then a picture of a German Shepherd.
No. Did they get that? Did they catch that on film last night?
Yeah.
Oh, that's magnificent.
A little bit more from this exchange.
What is this that you're selling? Can I buy some?
Dog satay.
It's what?
Dog satay.
Dog satay. This is why you have a picture of the dog here.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, goodness gracious.
So we told the
where are we? Can you, so everyone knows, is it Kuta?
No, yes, this is in Seminyak.
Fancy Seminyak.
The fancy puppy dogs.
Whoa.
Yeah,
well trained.
No scabies from there.
I've done my own investigation. And apparently there's a cafe in Seminyak, which is serving satay schnauzer.
Lovely.
Noodles with poodles. And that old favourite.
Oh, yes.
That old favourite Nazi greyhound. Which is
no meat on that one.
No, that's a problem.
Not at all. So all just bone. be very careful. If you go to Bali and you're not into the dog meat, just ask. Yeah. Okay?
Mm-hmm. You are into the dog meat, though. Wow.
If you are into the dog meat.
Cheap holiday.
Life is good.
Marto, Ed and Robin present The Real Housewives of Origin.
I wanted to talk to someone who was going to have the inside word on Origin, someone who potentially has been living with the controversy. So who better than pick than Rachel Thiday, Sam Thiday's wife? Because if there was any person who had seen the highs and lows, not only of rugby league, but of Origin, it is Rachel. Because, of course, he was dropped for game number two. So let me just set this all up by so that you understand their relationship history. She gives a brief as to how they met and where they're at.
Background story, I guess, is that we met in grade 8 at high school, best mates for a really long time, and the outcome is we're now married with two beautiful little girls.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And they're 4 and 2. So Rachel is very much a stay-at-home mum and she supports her husband. She used to work in travel and now she's definitely not a wag. She's the most straightforward, down-to-earth chick that I've probably ever met that's got anything to do with rugby league. But
where do you go school up north?
Yeah, Townsville.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so the big important question here is, you know, Sam Thiday was dropped for game 2.
Right.
And that's been pretty sort of traumatic for a lot of people, particularly the family. So I asked her how he felt about being dropped.
He's a bit heartbroken that obviously he's going to be sitting there watching it from home. I've been told not to organise anyone to come into the house whatsoever because he's obviously he's a bit heartbroken with it all. So, I mean, that's a pretty long-standing stint, you know, of what he's done for Queensland on and off the field. But, you know, that's life. That's how the cookie crumbles. And, look, he's got one more year where he could still make it. It's fine. It's one of those things, I guess, I'm from a really sporting background, so I can feel his pain, and we've all been there, and kids are going through it, you know, now as we speak as well. Sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some, sometimes you're just not included.
And that's the way it is. Yeah. Did he expect it?
No, he didn't. I can't say that he did. We were singing happy birthday to him, and Kevy, like, couldn't have picked a better time. He should have telepathically thought about what he was doing, but we were singing him happy birthday. And then the phone call came through, and then 15 seconds later, he's off the phone, and we keep singing, but, you know, we just try and put it behind us for, yeah, a couple more hours until the kids went to bed.
Oh, that's so sad.
Isn't it? In the middle of happy birthday, he gets a phone call from Kevy Walters to say you're no longer playing.
Wow, it's very honest of him.
Yeah, it's very honest. But
he won't be watching the game. Yeah. I've heard these guys before when they have injuries and stuff or been dropped, they pretend they're going to watch it, then they go outside.
Well, she said he wants to be alone, so they'll go and watch it in a different room.
Will they?
Jeez. Yeah, yeah. That's what she said. She said she's not allowed to invite anyone over. Anyway, the big question is, you know, he's done 29 games.
Pretty awesome.
To become like an immortal of Origin and a legend, you have to do 30. So the most logical question next to Rachel Thiday was, so will Sam keep going?
I think if you look at it from afar, his boyfriend Jonathan Thurston is retiring this year as well. So I think like secretly they had like this like love affair. They'll finish together on the same year, but didn't tell anyone. That's just my guessing. But now obviously without the 30 games, I don't see that he'll give up. He'll want to keep going and keep trying to get there to make that 30. So
how does that love affair work? Do you get kicked to the curb?
I do have a laugh because after all the previous years and they room together and they spend so much time together because they're away for Origin all together, it feels like nearly 2 months because they come home for a week, go again, you know, and they spend like a week and a half together before the game. So, yeah, look, there is a love affair. It's a brother affair. I don't know what it is, but I did say to Sam if we weren't married and he happened to like, man, I think he'd be married to Jonathan.
Man, there's a visual there that no one wants to have.
It'd be kind of a cute couple.
So there you have it. He's probably going to keep going to get his 30 if he doesn't make it for game three.
Good motivation. Great motivation. Jeez. I watched a game yesterday that was on. They had a replaying a game from 2009.
Yeah.
And he was our best forward.
That's like right.
Petro was in that team, Steve Price, and he was everywhere. Absolutely fantastic. So we all hope. We hope that he gets the fire in the belly and that he does come back. Good work, Robert.
You don't often get foot speed increasing after the age of 30.
Yeah, but hang on. What about it? Isn't it in your head too? If you really want something, the motivation is greater than your body? No?
No.
Well, let's see.
Your body doesn't get better after 30.
But how cool is Rachel Thiday? Can I just say? She's a really nice, nice lady.
And you'll be catching up with some more Origin wives?
Well, okay. So here's the thing, Marto. You wanted to know how come Sam Thiday was super fit and still had a gut? I asked her. So we'll find that out. Well, we'll find that out tomorrow.
You used to try to tell me it was turtle.
Yeah, no. We have an answer. We'll find out what it is tomorrow.
Hey, you might be able to teach an old dog some new tricks here. Now, Kat's only been working full-time again, I reckon, the last 2, maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
And my level of intensity of helping out has been ramping up all the time.
Well done.
Been married almost 25 years, and for the first time last week, I washed the sheets.
Okay.
No, I wash the sheets. Okay. Normally that's a Kath job. And I just went, hold on. I did our sheets and our bed, and I did Harry, our son's sheets.
Great.
And I was so proud of myself. I made a lot of noise about it when they both got home. I said, wait until you go to bed tonight. I've done the sheets and the pillow
slips. You washed them, dried them, and put them back on?
No, washed them, put them on the clothesline, and then found other pillow slips and sheets in the cupboard.
Well done.
And then did that.
Well done.
That's big for me. That's been 25 years in the making.
Yeah, next week it'll be the toilet. Anyway, keep going.
No, I don't do toilets.
No,
I do. I'll give them a wipe. Hey, no, well, now the problem is I've done it once. That was last Monday. Do I do it every week?
Yes.
Is that an every week job?
Yes.
No, it can't be.
Yes, it is.
I don't think Kath ever did them every week.
Well, the most every
fortnight.
What are
the rules with washing your sheets?
In winter, okay, so in my world, in winter, you could do every fortnight if you wanted to. In summer, man, no, gross, disgusting, how much sweat and... if you're Oprah, it's every 3 days, but she has people to do that.
If you're Oprah,
I'm giving you a platform in which we can jump from.
Because if you are Oprah, you've got to do it every day because you need a small bulldozer to get the cookie crumbs off. So if you...
Okay, let's not get down on Oprah
here. That's fine.
Hold on, can I just check, in the hotel, what do they do? You know, in a hotel.
Every day.
If I stay 3 days in a hotel, those women that come in, you know,
they'll make the bed once. So if you stay, they make it. Yeah. Actually, they might even make it twice, and then on the third they change it.
Yeah. You've got 3 sons, Robin.
Yes, I'm really thingy about this.
How often, if left to their own devices, and Marto, let's just you chime in with you've got your lovely teenage son Harry as well. If left to their own devices,
I went in there to Harry's room and did it like last month.
How long?
I reckon it would have been maybe 6 months.
Look, I guarantee you, hand on heart, left to their own devices, I bought the bed 2 years ago, the sheets wouldn't have been changed. But
our
that's why I'm their mother.
So your standards are too high.
No, they're not. They're disgusting. No.
All right. So we got Oprah on 3 days. Let's just have a look at the leaderboard.
Yep.
We got Oprah on 3 days. You're saying a week to 2 weeks.
I'm saying 2 weeks in winter.
My son, I would figure, is 6 months. I've gone a year once when I was working out up north.
You.
Yeah, I know. Well, there was no females involved, so it didn't really matter. Can I just check with everyone? Mm-hmm. How often do you really need to wash your sheets?
Ed Cavalier, you're being very quiet.
No.
Where are you on the leaderboard?
It's regimented at our house. If my wife's around, then we do it once a week.
Yep.
But if my wife's away for work, I just wait till I can chisel them off with a hammer. And they just crack.
All right. Everyone
and
else?
I scoop up the shards and I lay some new ones on. How often?
If you're a single bloke...
Yeah, let's be honest. Let's get a broad range here.
Each
maybe
January,
single,
every
let's
January.
Get some single
I'm
blokes.
I'm going to dry reach on this. Seriously, it's going to be
oh,
so
don't be.
Disgusting.
This is real, and this is what they're still alive.
What, when you can smell yourself? Oh, whoops, better change my sheets.
How often do you
That'll
change
do.
The sheets?
I did it 8 days ago now, and I'm wondering, when do I go again? When do I pull the trigger for the second
can
time?
Can I just ask, when you remade the bed, did the sheets match?
Match what?
Each other. Like, was it a set? Oh, God, that drives me insane. My kids do that all the time. I'm like, I buy them, they're a set. You put them and they match. They're like, woo. Paul of Deception.
That's the noise I'll make too. What are you talking about, set?
Paul of Deception, mate. Hello.
Good, mate.
Good. Hey, listen, I was a single dad for 15 years and I was pretty ordinary with my sheets. But the one that took the cake for me was I used to have a young fella working for me, probably early 20s. And I went round to pick him up one day. He wouldn't answer his phone, so I went round to his house to pick him up to take him to work, and I had to kick him out of bed. Hey. My goodness, when I got him out of that bed, I dead set reckon, have you seen the outlines they put where there's a body load?
After a murder.
I dead set reckon, I don't know what colour they were originally, but his sheets were like that where he lied, and I just thought, wow. I thought I was bad. This took the cake.
It's been a while since he got a girlfriend, hasn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a lot better when you've got a girlfriend to help you out.
That's when you tidy, your life up a bit.
Oh, that's great. The outline. That's beautiful.
Robin, do you have cushions and stuff on your bed?
Yes.
Okay.
Teddy bears?
No.
Andrew from Springfield. Cushions are one of the... Andrew, are you married?
No, single.
Right, well, you don't have cushions on your bed, I bet.
No, I've got two.
Oh, good on you, Andrew. What a guy.
All right, let's get back to the sheets. How often, mate?
In summer, once a week, guaranteed. Winter, 3 weeks max.
Great.
Andrew. Are you on Tinder and stuff? Are you very single type of guy?
No, I'm not on Tinder. I'm just single. I just moved here.
Oh, right.
God, you must have had a really good mum or dad. I'm not. No need to be sexist here, but a parent who would have taught you that stuff.
It's called the wooden spoon treatment.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Clean sheets and cushions. You are one hell of a catch.
Yeah, wooden you're good. Spoon, you are wow. good to go, Andrew. Thank you, mate. James is from Logan. James, now this is a mate of yours, is it?
Oh, mate of mine's brother.
Okay, tell us about him.
Oh, he just used to go over his place and he just didn't have any sheets, mate. He just laid on the mattress and had a big brown stain where he laid.
Robin's had to leave.
And the pillow didn't have any pillowcase. It was a big brown stain on it as well.
Oh, man.
And I'm not lying. That was there for years. So
when he moves, that just goes straight out onto the road, doesn't it?
Oh, I think he got married and they put sheets on eventually. But
he's not on there.
What? Don't you notice? Like, don't you care? Doesn't
that's an away
stink?
Fixture every time. You leave a nightclub with a chick, you're not bringing her home to that, are you?
When I was living with four blokes, Robin, and one girl in a share house, there was one guy whose room smelt so bad that when he changed his we didn't change his sheets, we had an exorcism. They were that disgusting that when he would, it was like an event for the house. We would air his room and the whole thing, and then he would just go back into his little funk for the next few months.
That sheet I was talking about when we lived in a caravan, four blokes for a year, they were like good footy shorts. They were starting to wear through.
Right.
Like that's when you know you need it. But you don't even wash it, then you just get newies.
Well, yeah.
So is that what you did? You just threw out the sheets and started
and
again?
Came home.
I came home, I abandoned them. Abandoned sheets.
Late in the show yesterday, just before 9 o'clock, if you weren't with us, the delegation of duties for the day, it was my job to go to the TAB yesterday and have a bet on our favourite horse.
Horsey McHorseface.
That's right. First up winner at Cessnock.
big win.
Yeah, big win. But I think you'd found it, Ed, but Horsey McHorseface, when the commentator called it as it came around the outside and strode away for a win. It's just a very funny name, named after Bodie McBoatface, that tugboat over in the UK. Okay, we all found it very funny. We noticed that it was running yesterday at Goulburn. Monday's a strange day. I said we don't want Robin being
Well, I've never been into a TAB in my life, whereas for you, you were much more, you know, it was much more of your normal habitat.
No, Monday.
Robin, I don't let me tell you something. In a TAB, have you ever been to Paris?
Yes.
It's like that.
The only thing is there's not a lot of people in TABs on a Monday. You wouldn't have... If you had to ask how to fill in a ticket, there was only one other guy there.
Okay, righto. But you took one for
the team. Worst
thing
is he recognised me.
All right.
Oh. You're the rugby guy. I said, yep, Phil Kearns. Thanks, mate.
That's all right.
So Phil Kearns, I go in there and I approach the girl and fill out my ticket.
Oh, approach the girl.
I put money on it, of course. Mm-hmm. I was.
Come on.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no, I was going to put this one in. Do you like the name of the number 7, Horsey McHorseface?
Horsey McHorseface.
It's become funny.
$19.90
$19.90 So I put 10 on the nose.
Righto.
Paying $7.
Okay.
And I took it in a trifecta as well.
Ooh,
okay. So
okay.
Here's its odds, you know. All right. When I put the bet on, it was $7.
Right.
My $10 has brought it in, but I've changed
it
the
has.
Market.
You've changed the market to Horsey.
Golfed on a Monday. All right. So I potentially, I could make
Come on, Horsey.
Hundreds here. Come on, Horsey. I can't, I won't do the whole race. Just do snippets just to give you up.
Hang on, what happened? I don't understand.
I had it. The speaker's fourth. In the ceiling. It came fourth or fifth.
What? It was doing okay, though? Or was it just the commentator who likes saying
it? Who wanted to say it because he saw how the last commentator said Horsey McHorseface got on the news a lot. So
that's the most saddest thing any radio station's ever played. Not even the race call.
No.
Recording the race call from
the speaker. On a Monday.
The most important thing is there. The boss has now heard it. I can get that $20 back on legitimately, correct?
That's true.
That was research.
It's a work expense.
Research.
Good, thanks.
And the other bloke there, he didn't have Horsey either. Bloody hell. And you know who did win it? Remind you, I said yesterday.
Oh, Mark Waugh's wife's horse.
Mark Waugh's bloody wife's horse won.
Selfish.
New Triple M.
United Kingdom, overnight, guys, a van ran into some people who were coming out of service at a mosque, and the guy was caught. He didn't, the bloke that was driving the van. And to tell us the latest is Michael Best, Nine News UK correspondent. Good morning, Michael. What's the latest?
Morning, guys. Well, the latest is that this man's in custody. He's been arrested over attempted murder and terror offences. And police here and the Prime Minister and Mayor are all calling this a terror attack. There's no doubt in their minds that this was motivated by what they're saying was an Islamophobic ideology. And that this man is a 47-year-old, father of four, apparently. He was thrown out of a pub just the day before he got behind the wheel and ran down these men outside a mosque. He was apparently shouting out anti-Islamic slogans in the pub and said that he was going to do something big. So, unfortunately, he has, and eight people are injured in hospitals tonight.
Michael, did he go straight from the pub, go and rent that van in the? He lives in Cardiff and drive the 3 hours up to London?
Well, who knows? I mean, that's certainly something the police are looking at now, the timeline of events, what he decided to do, how he decided to do it. It seems like that was the day before. You know, whether there was some time he had at home stewing about this and deciding what he was going to do and carry out this horrendous attack, we're not sure, but that's certainly the focus of the police investigation.
Michael, it just kind of feels like, from us in Australia, another day and another terrorist attack. Is that how the English are feeling at the moment?
Pretty much. That's what it feels like. You know, this is the fourth attack in under 4 months here in Britain. You know, we had the Westminster attack, which many people over here felt that was, you know, it sounds bad and it sounds horrific that Britain was due for one. We'd had so many attacks in Europe and so many arrests made here in the UK by intelligence services and police of people who were planning terror plots. Mm. But there hadn't been an attack in London for or the UK for a number of years. Now, we had that in March. Then, of course, the Manchester bombing just a month ago when 22 people were killed there. And then the London Bridge attack 2 weeks ago, now this. And the fear is that it's you know, dividing the community even more when you get these retaliatory supposed attacks happening.
Michael, just a quote on the state of the UK at the moment. The election, they basically don't really know who's going to govern them. You've got these attacks happening all the time. There was the terrible fire in the tower block. What is the feeling like in the UK? It just seems as though it's in chaos at the moment.
It just feels so uncertain. I think the Queen summed it up the other day. It was her birthday, you know. It was supposed to be a big celebration, trooping the colour, all the royals turn out. She put out a statement saying, you know, there's this sombre tone, there's this sadness across the country after the events of the past few months. Yeah. And people feel uncertain, not just politically, but also for their safety. You know, if you can't go out or you think twice about going out to large crowds or
definitely, it's
you know, tourist landmarks,
yeah, exactly.
Then things change.
Is there any chance this can be driven? You're quite a fairly harsh press, written press. Any chance that Islamophobia is driven by what's in your papers?
Well, I mean, there's an argument. There's an argument for all of that, isn't there? I mean, it's a very fine line. I don't know. I mean, there's been so much of a backlash against this radical Islamist agenda that has been driving these attacks lately, and that's not just from, you know, the community here, the wider community in Britain, but also largely from within the mosques and the more moderate Muslim community as well. We've had Islamic leaders standing next to rabbis and Christian priests at all of the events after these attacks and denouncing them and saying it doesn't form a part of the Islamic belief and ideology. And then last night, London time, when this attack happened, the imam from the mosque was the one who stepped in and said, let's not attack this man, even though he's just run down all our people. Let's wait for the police.
Tackle
him
and get the police. So, hey, Michael Best, yeah. Sorry, mate, we do need to move on. So Channel 9 News, UK correspondent. Mate, we'll see your reports all day on Channel 9 News. Thanks for your time.
Cheers.